I want to speak this morning about his compassions fail not. This is Miles McKee with the Gospel Truth radio broadcast, coming to you through Radio Hope and Mike Myers. Thanks, Mike, for putting this on. His compassions fail not. And I would like to turn your attention to Lamentations in chapter 3. And verse 22 and 23. Now, let me tell you something. When Jeremiah wrote these verses, he was writing in the wake of a great disaster which had happened in Jerusalem. Jerusalem has been overthrown. It has been destroyed. The young man killed with the sword. It's been terrible. Devastation, destruction. Why did that happen? Because they turned against God, that's why. You know, it'll never work out for you when you turn against God. It's disastrous. Yep, turn away from the Lord, it brings disastrous results. And they continually did that, not once, not twice, continually. Yeah, and here we find amazing verses. Lamentations 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Did you hear that? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. What stops us from being consumed? Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now, let me say at the very outset, Christ's compassion is not merely passive, but it results in action. And when the scripture says he has compassion, it means a lot more than God sitting up there in heaven and he's feeling kind of sorry for us. No, that's not Bible compassion. That's not Christ's compassion. His compassions are more than sympathy. They are his solutions. His compassions result in action. Did you see in verse 22, it said, it's of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. What a great expression. They fail not. That means his compassions are always available. They are, how often? They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. They're always available and they're always effective. We know they're effective because he's faithful. Jesus, thou art all compassion. Do you know this old hymn? Oh, it's wonderful. I'd sing it for you, only I put you off. But Jesus, thou art all compassion. Pure, unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation. Enter every trembling heart. So I want to talk to you today about his compassions. His compassions fail not, and I desire that every listener will be stirred in their mind and their heart to love the Lord Jesus just a little bit more. To draw near to the Lord Jesus. Draw near to him. I mean, it's not as if he's lost, but to experience him. To be faithful to him, to love him. And the first thing I want to say to you is this. Christ has compassion for those who just don't know. He will enlighten them. Yeah, he has got compassion for those who just don't know. Hebrews 5, verses 1 to 2, talking of our earthly high priest, says, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for man in the things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifice for sins. Then it says, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them who are out of the way? What a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, having compassion on the ignorant and those that are out of the way. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, Hebrews 4:15, Hebrews 2:17. He is a merciful and faithful high priest. He's compassionate to those who are ignorant, people who are going against the gospel, and they don't know that they're going against the gospel. Huh? Could I illustrate that? Is that what you ask? Yeah. Acts chapter 9, great illustration. The Apostle Paul, well, he was Saul of Tarsus when we pick him up next chapter 9. He's on his way to Damascus. He's breathing threats and murders. He's got letters with him from the high priest. Going to arrest all those wretched little Christians up in Damascus. He's filled with hatred against them. Hatred. These people were defying the teachings of Israel. And don't we all know that Israel's the true church, the one true church? And he's defying the teachings of Israel. Oh, these wretched followers of that wretch, Jesus of Nazareth. He's going to get them. Man, he's going to get them. And then what happens? Compassion. The Lord appears. You know what he didn't say? He had to say something to Saul, but you know what he didn't say? He didn't say, I've had enough of you. You make me sick. Who in the name of thunder do you think you are? Boy, do I have a score. You look at all those people you've arrested, thrown into jail and arrested. And Stephen, what about Stephen? You held the coach, you held the coach. You held the coach. Oh, I have a score to settle with you, said the Lord. No, no. What he says is filled with compassion. He says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. That's the cattle goads, the ox goads. You're only hurting yourself with this course of action. Do you hear the compassion that's in the master's voice as he talks to Saul? Why, Saul, why? You're only hurting yourself. You're not going to hurt him. He's the King of Kings. But he hurts as we hurt because he's compassionate. Now notice, Jesus is filled with compassion because Saul doesn't know any better. And he's compassionate to people who are sinning against him and who are just ignorant. But notice the Lord doesn't excuse ignorance or pretend it doesn't exist, but he has compassion upon it. His solution for Saul was to draw him to himself. And too often we tend to be angry. Have you noticed this? Well, I've noticed this about me. I get to witnessing to some people and they're just ignorant. And I get annoyed. How unlike Jesus I can be. Too often getting angry and upset with those who oppose the Lord. I need to learn the compassion of the Lord. Maybe you do too. His compassions fail not. Another thing I want to draw to your attention is this. Christ has compassion for those who have made a mess of their life, and he will mend them. What about you? Have you made a mess at any stage? You've made a mess of your life, of events in your life. It wipes you out, doesn't it? Well, do you want to hear about the compassion of the Lord Jesus? I'll give you a prophetic picture of Jesus. It's found in Isaiah 42, verse 3. It says this, talking about Jesus, pointing towards Jesus. A bruised reed he shall not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. Now, a bruised reed, well, how did it get bruised? Well, somebody stood on it, walked all over it. And the bruised reed, he'll not break it. Have you ever felt that somebody's walked all over you, or people have walked all over you, or life has walked all over you? Are you a bruised reed? Well, then he's not going to break you. Come to Jesus, trust him. And the smoking flax he shall not quench. Oh, the old reed, it can hardly stand up. but the wick, the smoking flax, it's like a lamp wick that's faded away. It's so weak. There's no light coming out of it. It's terrible. And no, no, he's not going to put it out. He's not going to reach out and snuff it out and say, you worthless, worthless, worthless. Well, that's religion. That's not Jesus. No. Jesus didn't come to discourage us. He came to encourage. He didn't come to treat the weak with contentment, with contempt, but with understanding. He doesn't extinguish the weak flame, but he nurses it back to a healthy light. Jesus is the great encourager. Did you hear me? Jesus is the great encourager. Say it again. Jesus is the great encourager. Encourage. Not a discourager. That's all the old devil's job, to discourage you at every turnaround. Well, you say, Brother Miles, I made a mess of my life. Surely Jesus is angry with me. Not a bit of it. Did you hear me? Not a bit of it. The bruised reed he shall not break. Hey, think of the prodigal. He got his inheritance. He went off to a far country. He wasted his living, wasted his inheritance with riotous living. Ended up in the pig pen eating pig food. And he came home. And who was waiting for him? Who was watching? The Father. The Father ran to him and had compassion on him. Luke 15:20. Compassion, that's just like our Jesus. Compassion. He's a picture of Jesus. Oh, if you've made a mess of your life, made a mess of things, hey, come on. Come on back to Jesus. He'll not destroy you. He'll not discourage you. He'll build you up and he'll mend you, for his compassions fail not. Another thing I'd like to tell you is that Christ will have compassion upon those who have had a bad religious experience, and he'll shepherd them. Hey, let me read you a scripture. Okay, we're going across to the New Testament, to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9, verse 36. Matthew 9, 36. Now listen to this. Wow. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he said unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. My goodness, Jesus looked at the mass of ordinary men and women, and he was moved to the depth of his being. What was happening here? Well, these, the common people, as they called them, the common people, were no-hopers. No-hopers when it came to God. Why? Because of their religion. They were under the control, under the sway, under the control of the Pharisees and the priests and the Sadducees. And these leaders could offer no comfort nor give any guidance. In fact, they were... These leaders bewildered their hearers with subtle arguments about the law. Now, look, the law started out. It was wonderful. It was the law of God, wonderful. But these fools, these idiots, as we would say, they had added rule upon rule upon rule upon rule upon rule and demanded people keep all these rules to get right standing with God. We don't have time, but look it up sometime and see the rituals they went through with hand washing. I had to have the hand washing. And on the Sabbath day, oh my goodness, the Sabbath day behavior. How did you behave on the Sabbath day? Well, there were regulations as to, for example, how far you could walk on the Sabbath. This far and no farther. Yeah. They'd added to the word of God. Now, and You didn't carry something weighing more than two figs. Say, how about that? A terrible, terrible business. Terrible business. Judaism started out beautifully, but these religious leaders had added to the words. They had removed themselves from Scripture. Jesus looked at them and he saw them, the children, the people, his people, Israel. They were bewildered. They were dejected. Literally, they were flayed and mangled and devastated and plundered. And you know what? A bad religious experience can do that. Yeah, it surely can. I've had bad religious experiences. I'm sure you have. I'm sure you have left certain churches and you said, I'll never be back there again. I wish I could have. You're trying your best and so-called Christians turn against you over no real reason. And Jesus looks at us, all of us who've been hurt by religious experiences, bad religious experiences. He looks at us as if we're dear people. And he has compassion. His compassions are his solutions. Well, what was his solution? You saw it there, verse 38. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. Pray. Look, I know that verse is used for evangelism. It's a good verse for evangelism. But he's saying, pray that these guys get shepherds. Pray that these dear people get shepherds who'll care for them. Pray the Lord of the harvest. Oh, yeah, true workers who know the gospel and enjoy the gospel and are shepherds and won't mangle the sheep. Well, listen, if you've had a bad religious experience, Jesus has a heart for you. He's not against you. He will shepherd you. John 10, I am the good shepherd. His compassions fail not. Don't you love him? Don't you love the Lord Jesus? And look, who else is like him? Who else would care for you? Buddha's not going to care for you. Muhammad's not going to care for you. Who cares for you? Jesus does. And then another thing. Jesus has compassion for those who are the outcasts of society, and he will rehabilitate them. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Turn over there, read a few verses. Verse 40, chapter 1, Mark. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus moved with, what was it he was moved with? Moved with compassion. Put forth his hand and he touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away. Amazing, isn't it? Totally amazing. What a story. What a story. Jesus had compassion for this poor leper. Leprosy, you know, that's a horrible disease. It was worse back then, but it's still here. I've seen leprosy. I've been in a food kitchen in, I can't remember what it was, but I know what the country it was. India. We fed lepers, and I've seen lepers, and I've tried talking to lepers, and it's a ferocious disease. It starts with a wee spot. There you see a wee spot. It's a wee bit itchy. And bit by bit by bit by bit, it grows and increases and it eats your flesh. It just eats away. Your body becomes numb. You could cut off your foot. If you're a serious leper, you could cut off your feet and you wouldn't know that you'd done it or that somebody had done it. Your foot has got it affected. What's the word? Infected. Serious cases of leprosy. Let's say a man, he could take scalding hot water, put his hands in him, he wouldn't feel it. He could wash his face in scalding hot water? He wouldn't know it except that he put his eyes out. Yeah, he'd make himself blind. Look, a leper, totally outcast from society, wasn't allowed near society. You talk about social distancing, they had to social distance. If a leper so much as stuck his head into a house, the house was considered unclean. Terrible, terrible disease. You know, the rabbis detested the lepers. Oh, yeah. One rabbi went so far as to boast that he threw stones at all the lepers to keep them away. Flinging stones at another human being. These poor creatures. They were the rejects. No one wanted them. No one wanted to be near them. And Jesus had compassion on him. That's our master. That's our savior. That's the one who died for our sins. That's the one who rose again. He has compassion. Now you're listening to me. He has compassion. Whatever your difficulty is, he had compassion. And you know what he did with the leper? He touched him, stretched forth his hand and touched him. Well, the Jews would no more have done anything like that. Anybody in the ancient world, we're not picking on the Jewish folks. I mean, nobody would have done that they were just amazed at that kind of stuff. He stretched forth his hand and touched them. Look, it was forbidden by the Jewish law to touch a leper. But this was the touch of love, the touch of compassion. No one would have so much as touched a leper, but you know, this leper could not infect Jesus. This disease could not infect Jesus. Jesus was able to infect this man with healing. That was what Jesus had. Jesus imparted healing with a compassionate touch. Moved with compassion. His compassions fail not. His compassions fail not. Jesus is the friend of social rejects. Yeah. Are you ready? Do you want to know about Jesus? Have you, first of all, come to the conclusion that you're a social reject? Well, let me tell you about Jesus. He's the friend of the least. He's the friend of the lost. He's the friend of the last. He's the friend of the languishing. He's the friend of the left outs. He's the friend of the leftovers. He's the friend of the laughed at. He's the friend of the losers. His compassions fail not. Is that great? His compassions fail not. Listen, he has compassion on those who just don't know. And he will enlighten them. Yeah, don't get mad at it. People who just don't know the gospel or don't know there's a God, don't get mad at them. Don't pray for them. I'm not saying don't witness them, but just don't be mad at them. Have compassion. Hey, listen, what were you like until the Lord opened your eyes? And why did he open your eyes? Because you're a good person, is that why? No. No, he opened your eyes because of grace, compassion, compassionate grace. Yeah, and he'll have compassion upon those who have made a mess of their lives. And he'll mend them. Yeah, he will. And he has compassion on those who have had a bad religious experience. And he'll shepherd them all those bad religious experiences. I don't know where half the people who get into the pulpit, where they come from. They're going to punish you for this, that, and the other thing. Goodness sakes. I know people. I know a guy. Well, I'm not mentioning the city, the location. He's trying his best. He's got a wife who's doing anything but trying her best, and they end up getting divorced. Well, what happens? He's kicked out of the church because he gets divorced. How compassionate that is. That guy needed somebody to wrap their arms around him and pray him through, bring him through. Yeah, and Jesus has compassion on those who are outcasts in society. And he'll rehabilitate them. Don't ask me how he does this. He does it. because he's compassionate. The old hymn says, in pain, sickness, or in health, Christ for me, Christ for me. In deepest poverty or wealth, Christ for me, Christ for me. The Father's well beloved Son, co-partner of his royal throne, who did for human guilt atone, Christ for me, Christ for me. Let others boast of heaps of gold, Christ for me, Christ for me. Mine is a wealth of joy untold, Christ for me. Your gold shall waste and wear away, your treasures vanish in a day. My portion never can decay. Christ for me, Christ for me. And that is the gospel truth.